Harry said, I thought you were going to tell on me. I said, no, I was going to dance. Some of you have had the misfortune to see that a time or two, but what can I say? Yeah, just move my arms. You don't want the rest of them to start moving. There's no telling what I'm liable to flip myself into the middle of next week. So, oh, mercy. Well, I have been gathering information about angels. I thought I would do a message about angels. That's now expanded to 3, and I'm working on number 4. So we're going to talk about angels all month long until the 31st, okay? The Bible has a lot to say about angels. I was kind of surprised. The thing that I have to ask you today, and also I'm going to make a lot of the choir mad, and maybe many of you mad, is I need you to forget everything that you've heard or thought or wondered, everything that you have grown up believing about the angels and what they do. Some of you are going to wish that, well, some of you are armed, aren't you? Well, I make a great target, don't I? What can I say? Hollywood teaches us about angels. Folks, we need to focus not on what tradition says or Hollywood. We need to focus on what God's Word says. And so if you would look with me in Hebrews chapter 1. I know that's kind of an odd place to start talking about angels, but I think we will see here that God has a lot to say about angels. Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 13 through verse 14. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet? Are they not all ministering angels sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Now, Hebrews is all about the superiority of Jesus Christ. It tells us that he is superior to angels. He is superior to Moses. I'm telling the Jewish people would have a fit over that. He's superior to the law, and he is superior to Melchizedek. God told only one person that he would sit at his right hand in glory, and that one person was his precious son, Jesus Christ. If you want a quick phrase that tells us who angels are and what they do, they are spirits sent to serve the saints. Say that real fast 3 times. Sounds like sneaky snake, doesn't it? S's. They are spirits sent to serve the saints. Now, if you ask me if I have ever encountered an angel, I will say I believe I have. If you ask me if I've ever physically seen an angel, I have to tell you, I'm not sure. But I hope that you would also say that you're not sure. Why? Well, let's go to the last chapter of Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 2. The writer of Hebrews says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, the King James Version renders that entertained angels unaware, not in their underwear. Boy, don't you wish sometimes my thoughts wouldn't come out my mouth? We may have encountered angels and not even known it. When it comes to the topic and the subject of angels, there seems to be two extremes, just like there is about a lot of stuff. On the one hand, many of us are ignorant about angels. On the other hand, some people are obsessed with angels. I think 25 years ago, some years ago, there was actually a store, and I think it was in Denver, Colorado, that was all about angels. That's all they sold. I don't know if it's still there or not. I can't imagine making a living selling angels. But a lot of people like to gather angel stuff. To my recollection, I do not believe I've ever heard a sermon on angels. Now, at seminary, no matter what your degree plan is, whether it's theology, education, or music, every discipline requires that you take at least one semester of systematic theology. To my knowledge, I can never remember a lecture on angels. As a matter of fact, there is not even a mention of angels in my systematic theology textbooks. That's not terribly surprising because my professor, whom they got from a Disciples of Christ seminary in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, who was my professor, he was a follower of Langdon Gilkey. And Langdon Gilkey was a follower of Paul Tillich. And that's why he was a liberal to the third power, because that's a lot of liberal stuff that went on from Northwestern in Chicago. Do you remember, Rodney, hearing of Paul Tillich and Langdon Gilkey? I did too. Since then, I've bought a conservative systematic theology textbook, and it devotes a whole chapter on the subject of angels. And immediately after that, there's a whole chapter devoted to Satan and his demons. There seems to be what amounts to a satanic intent to keep God's people ignorant about the wonderful subject of angels. Many people probably or may have purchased a copy of Billy Graham's book, Angels, God's Secret Agents. I had a copy of that one time. I loaned it to somebody and they never returned it. I don't know who it is, but I suspect it was probably a preacher. Don't loan your books to a preacher. You'll never see them again. They will lie to you and say, I gave that back to you. And if I have some of your books, I got on my Bible program. It's a free Bible program called Little E-Sword. And it has all kinds of translations on there. And it's got concordances, and it's got, I don't know what all. It's got a little bit of everything. You have to buy some of the new translations, but you can get King James and some of the others on there. And I've bought several of the translations because sometimes it'll even do a compare for me. And I'll put a verse in and it'll show me what every one of those translations says about that verse. It's real handy. Would you believe, I plugged in these five words, angel, angels, spirits, cherubim, and seraphim. I thought that would cover all of the information about angels. Would you believe that I found almost 400 verses in Scripture, starting in Genesis 1 and ending in maps? I didn't know the Bible had that much to say about angels. Maybe like you, me, you've been ignorant too. So through this series, I hope that we can dispel a little ignorance. On the other hand, there are some today that are so obsessed with angels that it becomes something that causes them to go nuts. And as with a lot of spiritual issues, the truth probably is somewhere in the middle. So I had somebody tell me that a centrist is like a skunk. It's got a stripe down the middle. You know, when you're standing in the middle of a highway and there's a yellow stripe down the center and you're not on one side or the other. I don't remember. That was something that I told my friends, and they told me, and we laughed about it. And it really doesn't sound very funny right now, does it? So, anyway. Now, I'll tell you, I'm basically a biblical Christian. Where the Bible speaks, I speak. I believe what the Bible teaches. Where the Bible is silent, I too am silent. I want to ask you throughout this study of angels to commit yourself to believe what God's Word says about angels, not what you read in a magazine, not what somebody says happened to them, not anything else but what God's Word says about it. So today I want to give you kind of an informative teaching thing. This is not hellfire and damnation. I'm not going to slam anything on the pulpit or anything like that. I'm not going to have a fit. Evangelist from Arkansas, I can't remember his name right now. Matter of fact, he lost both of his legs to diabetes. His son was huge. And so he told his son was a singer. So he told his son, let's rig up something like a papoose. And you can put me on your back, and you lead in singing, and then turn around, and I'll preach. Walter K. Ayers. Thank goodness he's in heaven now and not inflicting himself. I love it. I want to separate the fact from the fabrication. So we're going to look at some fabrications concerning angels and compare and contrast them to the facts of God's Word. Fabrication number one, angels are human beings who have died. That's not true. A lot of people think that angels are people who have died and gone to heaven and somehow got wings and became an angel. But the biblical fact is, angels are created spiritual beings with moral judgment and high intelligence, but without physical bodies. Also, just to throw this in, the biblical definition of demons says demons are evil angels who sinned against God and who now continually work evil in the world. Where did we ever get the idea that angels are human beings that have died? Well, got a lot of tradition and folklore and history and Hollywood, and a lot of us got our doctrine of angels from Hollywood rather than from the Word of God. I don't know about you, but there are certain movies that are about Christmas that I watch every year. I have already seen Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin. Now, there's some tough language in there, I understand, but most of it they bleep out now, so you don't have to worry about sitting there hearing, you know, some horrible garbage of stuff going on. Another one is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's got even more stuff in it, but they are starting to bleep that out too, so thank goodness. You know, Cousin Eddie, how many of you have seen Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? Cousin Eddie, I swear every family's got one, you know. And fortunately for me, I'm not him. I'll just state that up front. There's another one that I like, that I'm hoping to see before the season ends, and I will guarantee you it'll be on 2011 times. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. Don't you just love that movie? Oh, what a swell movie that is. Jimmy Stewart plays George Bailey, and he gets in financial trouble, and he decides that the only way he can figure out how to solve his problem, he ends up on the bridge getting ready to jump off and drown himself so that his family can collect his life insurance. There's an angel, quote, that goes to him right there, and he convinces, and this guy, he's called Clarence. He's George Bailey's, I say with quotation marks, guardian angel. And he's played by Henry Travers. He's kind of a bumbling kind of a guy. He sets out to save George Bailey to prove to him that life without George Bailey would really not be very good at all. You know the rest of the story, how at the end Clarence says he's trying to earn his wings because he's only an angel second class. He has to earn his wings because he's a guy who died in the 1800s and has been working for years trying to earn his wings. Now, at the end of the movie, when everyone is gathered around the Christmas tree and the townsfolk bring in money to help George satisfy his financial problem, it's about this time when it becomes a 2 or 3 tissue kind of a movie. You know what I'm talking about. And the bell at the top of the Christmas tree rings. And the little girl says, "Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings." And Jimmy Stewart looks up and says, "Attaboy, Clarence." Isn't that a great movie? Folks, that's Hollywood. Not God's word. Sometimes well-meaning Christians say something like that. They'll have a mother or a father who've died, and they'll say, "Well, God has another angel." I know what you mean. Your loved one has died and has gone to heaven. But God doesn't have another angel. He has another saint who's died and gone to heaven. Sometimes family have a little baby that dies. And there's nothing, I don't guess, more grievous than that other than to have a child grow up to a certain age and then they die. And so anytime you have a child that dies, it's grievous. But people come and they say, "Well, now God has another little angel." I've said it myself. Not to people. I've learned to better than that. But you have to separate your mind from the fact that angels are not human beings that died. You'll also hear some stories like, "Well, I had an encounter with my Aunt Gertrude, who died 12 years ago, and she came to me as an angel." You can be sure that if somebody says that they recognize a person, it's either a deceiving spirit or they're deceived, because angels are not human beings who've died. They are, as the Bible says, spiritual beings created by God. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, as many other scriptures do, says that Jesus created everything. It says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him." Cough number one for those of you that are tired of filling in the B's and D's in your bulletin. We had a Mr. Richardson in our first in our home church that he amened everything. The youth would count the number of amens. And then we'd compare notes to see who had it right. That's talking about powers and principalities. That has to do with angelic rankings and realms and divisions. It says all things have been created by him and for him. The Bible says that God knows the number of angels. We don't know how many angels there are, but we believe that it's a set number. How many? I don't know. According to the NIV, John says in Revelation 5:11, he saw 10,000 times 10,000 angels. That's 100 million angels, folks. And then he said, there are thousands after thousands after thousands. There is a mind-boggling number of angels. Satan's working on me, folks. Thank you. Anybody wants to lay hands on me, don't, because I don't want you to get this stuff. God has created a vast number of angels, but the Bible never speaks about an angel getting old or an angel dying. You never see baby angels. In fact, we know from what Jesus says that angels do not reproduce, because he said when we go to heaven, we're going to be just like angels, and that means we're not going to be involved in furthering the procreation of human beings. So the angels are special spiritual beings created by God. Please release from your mind the fabrication that they are loved ones who have died and are trying to earn their wings. Fabrication number two. Angels appear as chubby babies with wings. Thank you, Hollywood. Here we go again. The biblical fact is angels most often appear as ordinary men. I don't know where we get the idea that angels are these cute little chubby babies with wings. Of course, Sam Cooke in 1961 added to that and said, "Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow flow, go," and so on and so forth. That was my Sam Cooke. Thank you. Thank you. I could go farther, but I won't. Where did the idea of wings start? The Bible teaches there are different kinds of angels. There's one archangel, Michael. John Milton, in his 17-volume epic, Paradise Lost, that most of us have never read, me included, says there are two archangels, Gabriel and Michael, but he's wrong. The only archangel is Michael, according to God's word. Then there are just what we would call, for lack of a better term, God's holy angels. You might want to call them ordinary angels, but there's really nothing ordinary about them. They don't have wings, they just appear as men. Remember when Abraham encountered three men, three angels, and he thought they were men. Manoah, who was Samuel's father-to-be, encountered an angel. He thought it was a man. He didn't know until later that it was an angel. All through the Bible, we see angels appearing to people, and they appear as if they are ordinary man, but somehow, and they've come to give a message, somehow, either through the Shekinah glory of God shining on them, it becomes apparent that they're not just ordinary men. So where did we get the idea of wings to start with? I'm talking about different kinds of angels. There are certain kinds of angels in the Bible called cherubim. Now maybe this is where we got the thing about babies, because cherub is a baby, as we assume, or it seems like. And if you add I-M to that word, that's the plural for cherub. Cherubim, okay? And in Exodus 3, we're told that the figure of the cherubim were over the Ark of the Covenant. Ezekiel has a lot to say about cherubim. They have four wings, just cherubim. It's the only time it talks about it. In Isaiah 6, there's another kind of angel, seraphim. When Isaiah sees the seraphim in the Bible, in the temple, they have six wings. Just because the cherubim and the seraphim have wings, you know my drugs are working on me, right? Doesn't mean those ordinary holy angels have wings. So don't get the idea that angels are little bitty chubby babies with wings. Most of the time, they appear as ordinary men. Fabrication number three. Angels are sweet creatures who sing and play harps. Here's the fact. Angels are most often warriors who hold swords. Now, if you learn anything through this series, I hope you will stop saying the phrase, "sweet as an angel." You ever notice sometimes a grandparent will look at their newborn grandchild and say, "Oh, what a sweet little angel." I have three little angels. Well, they're not angels. Well, sometimes they're not very sweet either. If you have to take care of them week after week after week, they soon lose the whatever. When did they get here? Friday night? And their parents aren't going to pick them up until late tonight. Do you know why Patty and I long for Monday? I just come to the office. Ask Cynthia. I just come to the office, sit in my room, and just go, "Thank you, God. I to be at home with the kids anymore. That's not based on the Bible. We get the idea that they're real sweet creatures who sing and play harps. First of all, the Bible never says they play harps. All right, here we go. I'm getting ready to burst everybody's bubble. The Bible never says that angels sing. I'm sorry, Pat. We talked about Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We sang about angels from the realms of glory. Is that what we sang this morning? W.A. Criswell, in his commentary on Revelation, made that statement. You remember W.A. Criswell? He was pastor at First Baptist Dallas for 50 years after George W. Truett was pastor at First Dallas for 50 years. I defy you to produce for me one verse of Scripture that says angels sing. Now, right about now, you're thinking, are you trying to spoil my Christmas spirit? We sing about angels we have heard on high sweetly singing. Do you mean I have to change that to angels we have heard on high sweetly speaking? Well, the Bible never says that angels sing. Some people look at Job chapter 38, verse 7, at the creation and say, the Bible says the morning stars sang together. And some people believe that's angels, but most commentaries say it's just the personification of nature. Just like when Isaiah said in Isaiah 55, 12, all the trees of the field clap their hands. Is there anybody that believes that trees have hands to clap? Nobody. If you believe that, we need to call somebody to come get you and take you away. In the very next verse in Job 38, it says that all the angels shouted for joy. I know what some of you are thinking. All right, Brother Bob, what about Luke chapter 2? When the shepherds are out there in the field and Jesus is born, didn't the angels come and sing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men with whom he is pleased? No, it does not say that. Look at Luke 2:13. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and singing? No, saying. Glory to God in the highest. But we always sing about angels singing. We're going to do it on Sunday night the 10th, next Sunday night. Our Christmas musical this year is Sing Gloria. The Bible says they spake that. Any student who took Greek knows one of the first Greek verbs that you learn to conjugate is the word legō, which means to speak. And that's the very word used here. What's the significance of that? I believe, according to the Scriptures, the only people who really sing and have the right and the responsibility to sing are God's saints, the born again, because angels have never been lost and they have never been saved and they don't know the joy of salvation. We do. We're going to be the singers in Israel. I mean, in heaven. Well, what about Revelation? Doesn't it say that the angels will gather around the throne and they will sing to the Lamb on the throne? It says they cry out with a loud voice. Over and over and over again, it says the angels are saying with a loud voice. Now, I believe sometimes there are angels in our services. As a matter of fact, I think they're here today. That's not the drugs talking now, okay? Just to let y'all know. I think sometimes they might slip up to some of us knotheads who don't sing the way we should and nudge us and say, come on, sing. I wish I could sing. But you see, they can't sing about the things that we sing about. What a privilege it is to sing praises to God. Based on everything that you have heard or everything that you have thought, you cannot find a verse in the Bible that says angels sing. Now, I cannot say categorically that angels don't sing. I mean, when we get to heaven, if the angels are singing, I'll be the first one to say, I blew it. But I can't find anything in God's Word that says that angels sing. When the Bible speaks, I speak. When the Bible's silent, I have to be silent. I believe the saints have the privilege of singing when we get to heaven, much less singing now. Matter of fact, I've heard this over and over, and Harry will tell you, this is choir practice for heaven when we sing together. And I'll tell you, I listen when you sing. I go to some of these other places and, you know, there's two or three people up on the stage singing and everybody else just kind of looking at them. It's not a concert, people. We're singing together. We're still on number three, okay? You know, as I was thinking about this, I thought about, does the fact that the Bible never says the angels sing, does that mean they were the first to rap? And then horror of horror, does that mean that the angels will be rapping in heaven? I'm sorry, but my knees are getting a little weak. I may have to sit down. If they're rapping, well, I guess I want to be there still. Angels are most often warriors who hold swords. They're not sweet little creatures. They're mighty warriors. The first time we see angels in Scripture is Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve sin, God sends an angel to stand at the doorway into the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword, and he is there to prevent Adam and Eve from ever coming back into the garden. All throughout the Word of God, we see them as soldiers. When Jesus talked about angels, he said, I could have called 10 legions of angels. A legion is a military term. In Isaiah 37, 36, it says that in one night, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. That doesn't sound like a little baby with wings. They're mighty warriors. You know, years ago, I don't know if any of you have heard of Frank Peretti. He wrote This Present Darkness, and then the next one was Piercing the Darkness. And he really is very graphic about depicting God's angels as mighty warriors. Now, I will have to tell you that I have stopped reading his books because it scared the fool out of me. I don't read Stephen King's books anymore for the same reason. Now, Stephen King has written some books that are not scary, and I've read those, and they're great. But I do not go looking for evil to fill my mind, so I don't read that kind of stuff anymore. Fabrication number four, all angels are good and obey God. While the fact of the matter is, some angels are evil and oppose God. There are only three angels named in the Bible. Michael the archangel, Gabriel, and Harry, once again, here I go. The Bible never says he's going to blow a trumpet. That's New Orleans jazz coming out. I've said it myself. I'm preaching to myself. Y'all just go on home. I'll be through here after a while. Honey, pick up some chicken or something so we'll have lunch. The third angel is Lucifer. You know who that is? Sorry. There's not enough bad words to say about him. He's the devil. He has a lot of fallen angels. We often call demons evil spirits. So you have God's holy angels and you have the fallen angels. That's why in Matthew 25:41, Jesus said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Angels have a will and they can choose, and some of them have chosen to rebel against God. I dare say everybody here has heard sermons on Satan. In fact, I preached a series of sermons on Satan. I will never preach another sermon, a whole sermon, on Satan. Because frankly, folks, he's not worth it. Let's focus on God's good messengers, his angels. Fabrication, number 5. Angels must be seen to be real. That's not true. I'd like to see an angel, and you probably would too. I heard about a pastor who was studying about angels, and he said, Lord, I'd just like to see an angel. Could you send me one? Poof! There was an angel in his study. He said, well, here I am. Would you like to take my picture? The pastor looked around to find his Brownie camera. You can tell how long ago this was. They didn't have cell phones. So he got out his camera, he took some pictures, rushed to the drugstore, turned it in. He couldn't wait till they were developed. When he got them back, they were all dull and blurred. You couldn't see a thing. And the moral to the story is, I like this one. The spirit was willing, but the flash was weak. Grown away. You know why I don't think we see angels anymore? Or why we see angels, period? Because we'll be just like John was in the book of Revelation, who, when he saw an angel, he bowed down and started worshiping that angel. And the angel said, get up on your feet. You don't worship me. You worship the only holy God, Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's who you worship. I think also that probably we're not as well developed as other of God's creatures. For instance, most of us don't smell very good. I don't mean personally. Some of you smell just fine to me. Animals have the ability to smell. As a matter of fact, I understand that a dog can detect each individual person's smell. I didn't know that. I'm glad I'm not a dog. We don't hear as well as some of God's creatures. They can hear ultrasound. They can hear infrasound. And our hearing is pretty limited. Visually, a hawk, an eagle, even a housefly can see better than we do. A housefly has 100 eyes. It's just the way we're made. It's not a fault or anything. 2 Kings chapter 6 is a story about Elisha. And he had gathered his servants against him to go out and fight the Aramean army. And the servant is scared out of his mind. He says, Master, what shall we do? And Elisha says, fear not, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I can just imagine that servant saying, what? It's the two of us and a couple of more. And look at all the hundreds and thousands of them. What are you talking about? So Elisha prayed. And he said, oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Bible says his eyes were open. He saw the mountains and he saw that they were full of flaming chariots, horses, and warriors. Now, those angelic warriors were there all along. It was just that in that moment, God opened the eyes of the servant and gave him the ability to see. I don't want you to get paranoid about all this. But I think it's right for us to study angels and come to an understanding of exactly who angels are and what they do. I think they're around us all the time. I think they're here in this room today. But just like it says in Psalm 91:11, "For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways." Yes, I think we do have guardian angels. I don't think they're just assigned to one person. I think the guardian angels are assigned to all of us to protect us. You want to know how to make the angels of God rejoice? To celebrate? Jesus says there is joy in the presence of angels over one person who repents. They're not singing praise, they're shouting praise. So, first installment of angels. I hope the rest of the time we'll have together will build on that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your word is here for us to open our eyes and open our minds. Father, I thank you for the angels that are here today that maybe we have not realized they were here. But Lord, I believe they're around us all the time. Help us, Father, as believers to trust your word and not our own ideas and not our own thoughts. And help us, Father, to see that you, the great God, are so far above anything that we ask or think that we can depend on you for the days to come. Help us, Father, to share our belief in Jesus Christ with those around us and give us opportunity to do that. I pray it in Jesus' name.